Blog Talk Radio.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network, and we love to open with an old theme. Larry Hardesty, radio documentary, sportscaster, history of New York City Radio, who brings us on with our old SARFM radio. But we open, as always, with John Coltrane's Dear Lord. We open with a prayer, and a prayer that we add something even special, as we ask so much so in all our forthcoming prayers. We ask that the good Lord will bless, guide, and strengthen Hector Camacho, who was shot tonight in Puerto Rico. He's in critical condition in the hospital, and a suspect is at hand. And let us begin to pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord, for little things we so largely take for granted, like health and life. We thank you for being our God, dear Lord. We thank you for blessings that have come, all coming, and all unmerited. We thank you, Lord, like I said, for little things we so largely take for granted. Bless our families here in America, my family in Brazil, my panel family. Bless us, Lord, as Thanksgiving Day comes, and we're taking out one day, we should take out every second of every day to thank you for being our God, your darling son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We ask you to go down in Puerto Rico, touch Hector, help him heal him. You're the doctor, never lost a patient. You can do all things. The only thing you can't. We love you, Lord, and we just ask you that you bless Hector, and we thank you for the opportunity of knowing him, to see him perform. And that man once said, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a Park Avenue bench. You're God all by yourselves. We ask you to help the Camacho family at these trying times and all the other families across the world in certain circumstances, those that are still suffering from the aftermath of Sandy. Once again, Lord, we come to you in the name of your darling son, Jesus, and thanking you, dear Lord, for being our God, the one and only true God. We ask these blessings, all of the blessings, in the name of our Lord and Savior, your darling son, Jesus. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Radio Network. It is a special Trust in God show, and of course, late night and a sad night to hear what has happened to one who we know so well, holds so dear, and who has been an integral part of a boxing family. And without further ado, let me go to the Latin side of Sports in Depth. And Dusty X, Destino. Dusty, like I said, the muscles hit me with it first. I got a call from Emil Nuendam from Florida. I went to the Hoopster, and the Hoopster got it straight at first. I thought he had been killed, but as it is, ESPN passenger in the car, shot face and neck, driver killed. He's in serious condition, but there has been apprehension. But now let's get it from Channel 47, the Latin side, Dusty.
Well, exactly what you were saying, to echo the sentiments. He was shot in a drive-by, and his chauffeur was killed. And he was shot in the neck and the face. He's very critical conditions. They have a couple of suspects. This happened in his birth town of Bayamungu. That's where he was born. And he's down in the hospital fighting for his life. And as the story develops, they will continue giving us more updates. But this is the latest in terms of Hector Macho Camacho, the pride of Bayamungu, who came over here as a child and settled in El Barrio, Lexington Avenue Projects, 117th Street and Park Avenue. And he turned to boxing after, of course, getting into little problems with the law. He turned to boxing, and the rest, you say, is history. You know, I was reading his bio. I mean, his and it's amazing how he fought the luminaries, the who's who in his weight division, almost like a Puerto Rican version of Muhammad Ali, who fought everybody. This is what Hector Camacho fought. People don't really realize that. I myself, going through this bio, I didn't realize he even fought Freddie Roach, and he fought Vinnie Pazienza,
Pazienza, Greg Hogan,
and Boom Mancini. He fought Tito Trinidad. He
you
fought Hector de la Hoya. He beat Durán twice. I mean, this guy was a monster, man. And
you
he
know,
beat, and he fought Edwin Rosario. I mean,
hold on, let's do a quick intro.
Yeah.
He fought everybody. The thing about Hector, it was Harold Weston who brought him to the world. I'll let you guys rabble in a few minutes. It was Harold who brought him to the world, but, you know, I remember the thing about Hector, you know, I mean, he was just, hold on, you know what, before we get further, an intro. Rooney, bring us into the Sports and Definition, where we continue to speak about.
You guys hear me?
Hopefully, good. Rooney, bring us into the nation.
Well, Doc, of course, the Sports in Depth Nation is here. Our Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We are here courtesy of the Sports in God, the Trust in God radio network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here, the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doctor.
Thank you, Rooney. Real quickly, a little national anthem, and we'll be right back.
You guys
back.
Hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Oh, great. He did beat Durán twice, but the first one was controversial. Durán actually
yeah, well, I mean, the
won
fact
that,
that you know, to beat him even once. But hold on, let's get the intro. I mean, it was Harold brought him to the world. A great line that Harold said that, you know, he the only person to beat Hector Camacho, he would beat himself. The thing about Hector Camacho, well, people forget, you know, Hector Camacho went the distance with Julio Cesar Chavez. He went the distance with
Trinidad.
And he went the distance with Oscar when he was way
past
a shell of himself and still was able enough to give him a boxing lesson.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, real quick, let's do a little of the anthem, and then we're going to rabble. We're going to talk about a guy that was dear to me. He was in the Harold Weston Club, a great fighter, despite the deficiencies caught on by drugs, and it was really a situation where he was betrayed, and it just really turned him. Doesn't justify what he did, but it makes you understand why he traveled the road that he didn't have to.
Well, I will say this. From what I heard from a source supposedly that's working in the hospital where he shot at, they said that he was pronounced dead, but that he came back alive. And there's news that he will not make it out of this. But you know, I don't know. That's,
okay,
that's
hey,
what
hey,
I heard.
Hey, just know it. Okay, keep talking. Forget the anthem. We're going to ramble. Cisco, it was Cisco that first sent it to me, got my text, I'm on the train, Hector Camacho shot dead. Bam. Camacho.
Wow, that's news to me.
Yeah,
Where'd you get this news, Cisco?
Huh?
I mean,
This is news to me.
First got it through Cisco. I'm reading it. I'm talking to Gilberto Ortiz from working on boxing Latin side. I read it again. I called Harold. I called Dusty. I called the Hoopster. The Hoopster calls me back. He says, this is why I love ESPN. ESPN had just ran it that he wasn't dead, but he had gotten shot. And
critical,
now Dusty turns on that it, you know, it was his chauffeur was killed. Gentlemen, we're going to wrap. Let it go. Good. Go ahead. Everybody,
this reminds me of a Manny Stewart situation. You know?
Was that
this situation reminds me of the Emmanuel Stewart situation where there was, you know, no, yes, no, yes, until they confirmed it.
Oh, yeah.
I think we'll finally find out the real situation, if he's going to make it or not out of this situation. If he's, you know, what I was told, supposedly this is a credible source. But I think that the truth will be told, I guess, by either tonight or tomorrow morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
they've been showing a lot of his fights, you know, his classics, you know, with Mancini, with Haugen. You know, they've actually been showing a lot of Hector on the ESPN Classic the last few weeks, so pretty apropos.
Yeah. And the thing is that here, you know, you hear about drive-bys. You know, and of all ways for this man to wind up critical, a freaking drive-by.
He was shot at. I heard he was shot at last year. Also, he was shot at. Not to this particular. Because the driver was killed this time around.
Right.
This time they
was facing some other charges of child abuse because one of his younger children he slapped around. And, you know. And he was, I don't know, I think if he was going to trial or still he was pending the whole, you know, and he had gotten into some Dancing with the Stars, Puerto Rican style, and he was a commentator on some of these good shows. I mean, he turned his life around, and all of a sudden, bingo, what I'm saying is that he had a TV show. He was going to do one of the reality shows, almost like a dating game type. This is, you know, and I read this in El Vocero, how he had turned his life around, going into TV and doing a lot of personality things. So how this came through, or how this come about, we don't even know until the investigation
is completed. As Dusty's saying, trying to move in the right direction. But let's quickly let the man who brought Hector Camacho into boxing, the man who was his matchmaker, who was his manager, really, to a certain degree, to his mentor. Yeah, I told Howe, and Howe's like, "What, ladies and gentlemen, Howe Weston Jr. Let it flow, Howe. Hold the floor right now. Let's talk about the Macho Man, Hector Macho Camacho."
Well, you know, one thing about Camacho that I knew is the fact that I knew he was great. And he could have been one of the greatest fighters that ever walked the planet if he just stayed on the right course.
Right.
He just had such natural ability that any other fighter could ever have wanted in their lifetime. He was almost like Ali because Ali had natural ability. It was just a thing where, you know, like I tell people, he was one of my best fighters that I ever brought up because I didn't have to worry about whoever he fought and didn't have to worry about whatever a person weighed. It was just amazing just how his attitude was towards the game and the fact of him wanting to be world champion. You know, if everything would have been handled more correctly and real in a professional way, the people that was dealing with him at the time double-crossed him, and that's where he went to the left because, to tell you the truth, he gave those people 110% of himself. He trained hard. He trusted them with his money, okay? They supposed to be taking care of him because he knew he wasn't that educated to take care of his own money. And the thing was arranged for him to get a certain salary every week. But they were going to watch over his money and make sure of these things. They watched over it, all right, as time got on.
They walked away from it.
Wow. No, I was there now. Nobody say anything because everything y'all talking about, y'all read. This thing is what I'm talking about. I was there when these guys came in there. The first manager had to leave because he was on drugs, okay? And Hector found that out because of him being on drugs, he sticked his fingers into Hector's bank account. Now, I know y'all ain't never heard that before because that wasn't even in the newspaper.
No.
Okay. And the other thing was he had to be, you know, be put out the group. One thing about that situation, Hector loved that man so much, he didn't even have to steal the money. All he had to do was ask Hector for the money. But he stole it, so we had to get rid of him. Then here comes the other manager. He wants to be more. He wants to be real slick, and so he got caught because he was getting certain money that he was getting for the training expenses and spending it. But he was charging Hector, telling him he was paying for it, and he was dipping and dabbing that kind of way. Hector found out, and they got rid of him. So that from that those two experiences made Hector move off to the right. And what that did, he didn't trust nobody. He didn't trust nobody. And he got with a few people and everything. He came back to me, and we did a couple of things with him at Madison Square Garden. But then he met some other crazy guys out there, and, you know, they listened to him. And what they did, they let him do what he wanted to do, what he wasn't equipped to be a businessman. And everybody took advantage of Hector. And Hector just went wild, and that was his whole side and everything. He was a good kid. He was a good kid. If he'd have been with the right people and did the right thing, if he'd have stayed with me and let me really handle things, but he was so hurt, and he was so, you know, he was so brutally been through things with these other guys, you know, he just didn't trust nobody. And so that was a downfall, and that was the end of Hector Camacho. And so basically that period of time, to now, you were just dealing with a guy that was just doing what he wanted to do, and he wasn't listening to nobody. And that's the downfall that it came to. And like I told Mel a long time ago, he said, how would Hector get beat? I said, the only way he could beat, he beat himself. And that's what he did. He beat himself. And that's the saddest part about this whole story about Hector Camacho. Because I'm telling you, man, he was the only guy that I had not have to worry about picking opponents. I said at ringside, when we fought for the championship, I was drinking champagne at ringside during the fight. That's how I knew we were going to win the fight. That's how great he was, with no problem.
Well, and it's evident from your nurturing and your tutoring that the kid fought, well, like I was saying, a who's who in boxing at those levels. And it's amazing, and I'm reading his Wikipedia here, his profile, and I didn't even know that he had fought and beat Freddie Roach.
I
see his name pop out at me. I'm saying, wait a minute, he even beat Freddie Roach. So,
but Freddie Roach wasn't that good of a fighter.
That was like a joke. That was like a Walmart fight. 47 has something.
You know, that was the Freddie Roach fight was like a warm up fight and everything.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't even in the fight. I mean, it was like a joke to us and everything. But I tell you too. I mean, if fellas, I'm telling you, I mean, he's the only guy that, man, I mean, you talking about an artist, I mean, being pretty. Mel can tell you, I wanted him to fight for the world championship. I wanted him to fight Bobby Chess. We was getting ready to put $250,000. Going to fight Bobby Chess. He only had 10 fights at the time.
Oh, shit.
10 fights at the time. I was ready, and I couldn't get him into the WBC ratings for one reason. Because at the time, you had to have like 15 fights to get into the top 10. Mm-hmm. Okay? And he only had 10, and I was ready to fight Bobby Chess right then and there.
And I had a check
for $250,000 for Bobby Chess to fight him at Madison Square Garden.
Howard, what was your immediate thinking, Howard, when you had learned he had signed to fight Chapo Rosario?
I knew he could beat Chapo, but his mind was all messed up at that time, man. His mind was all messed up at that time.
It was a very tough fight.
I saw
that one.
Yeah, he was not into anything, right? Because you when you guys started seeing that part of Camacho, it was just a shell of Macho Camacho. Believe me, it was just a shell of Chapo did not get what he should have got a real Hector Camacho. If he did, he would have never seen Camacho. The only time he seen when they touched glove, and that would have been it.
Right, yeah.
He'd have about probably knocked him out if he was at his top of his game.
Because at one time there in that fight, he seemed listless, and and Rosario Chapo staggered him. And I said, oh, shit, this guy never gets hit. He never gets hurt.
I mean, he was not there.
He's not there.
But he had one of the best chins in the sport. I mean, I think he got stopped, in his last, very last fight? I'm not sure.
He never got stopped.
No, he never got stopped. You're right. He never got stopped.
No, he never got knocked out. He took a pretty good
punch.
Never
got stopped.
Here's an update. There was a shooting between sicarios. Sicarios are hitmen between the cops and the sicarios. And Camacho happened to be in that area, and it could have been an accidental thing as this developing. It was not the target, it seemed, but the sicarios were having a big shootout with the cops in that area by Yamon, and that's how he got caught. He got hit in the neck, and he got hit in the face. Vulnerable areas. That's why he's critical. And the incident is developing as we go along. That's why I cut off for a few minutes just to get the information. So.
Mm-hmm. What's the latest, Dusty?
You weren't listening. The latest was that sicarios. Those are hitmen. You know, like Colombia sicarios and Mexican sicarios, these are hitmen, and gang related, and there was a big shootout with the cops. Okay, the Puerto Rican cops had a big battle with the sicarios, and Hector got caught in the crossfire, and the guy was driving, got blown away, and he got hit in the vulnerable parts, his neck and his face. So that's why he's very critical. There's no follow up. He's on the operating table now to see what they can do. So that's basically what you know.
And you know what, Phil? That is like I'm gonna say to you, Hector was not scared of nobody. That was the amazing part about this young man. He was not scared of nobody. I mean, even when he was fighting 4 and 6 rounds. I mean, and I can say that he boxed Pelnell Whitaker in Detroit. Okay.
Broke his jaw, Harold,
and beat him up. All right.
Right.
That fight would never have ever been made. You have never ever heard Duva said he would fight Hector Camacho with Pernell Whitaker.
That's right. It was never. And then, in fact, when he beat Ramirez, he called out Pernell. He called out Pernell. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, You never heard Pernell Whitaker.
Yeah.
You never heard
about Hector Camacho.
And Ramirez gave up. Pernell his first loss.
Well, the thing about, you know, Hector, I remember the Louis Lloyd fight, and you know, and they asked Harold for everything. They really didn't want to fight Hector. In fact, Hector at the weigh-in told Lloyd, who was a few pounds over, Hector said, "No problem, I'm going to knock you out anyway." And then after the fight, they had the audacity to come to Harold. Like Harold had gypped them. He gave them the money they wanted. He gave them the ring they wanted. Harold used to say when CBS and NBC, okay, would call him and say, "Hey, we got to fight for Hector." Harold would say, "Okay, we take it." They would say, "Well, don't you want to know who it is?" Harold would say, "What for? It don't matter. I got Eric McConnell, big boxing fan, just calling in. You heard about the situation, Hector. Am I right, Eric?"
"Hey, how you doing, fellas?
All
right, everybody, and have a happy Thanksgiving first and foremost.
Thank you.
And I heard what's going on with Hector, man, in Puerto Rico, man. What a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame, man. You know. But you know what's going on with Hector, right, man? I mean, his downfall was the drugs, man.
Yeah.
His downfall was the drugs. And you know, it's a shame that these boxers, they fall into the notion little by little, one by one. You know, as they get older. You know." As their career gets on and they're out of boxing, and I mean, so many people are going broke and becoming drug addicts, and it's just what happened. He liked the party, man.
But you know, Harold said that, and Doc Stanley Sports Depth with the Trust and Guard Radio Network, Sports in Depth here is the show. Trust and Guard is the network. Hector was a guy that I remember. Listen, Don thought the world of Hector. You know what I mean? Hector was the guy who carried the mantle after Ray Soto had been the big, and Don got him a Maserati, okay? Now, I remember because I
and
rode...
And the Ferrari.
The Ferrari. Okay, I'm sorry. And I remember, because I got a picture of me, and Hector drove me to the Lonnie Smith...
Exactly.
Post game,
ain't that a bitch? The boxer drives you to his fight.
No, funny that he drove me to the post fight party that they had for Lonnie Smith when he beat Billy Costello in the guard. I remember that car is like if you thought left, it turned left. I mean, we zoomed through the traffic. He used to park it on the side of the street. They knew who he was. Hold on.
He parked on the sidewalk a few times.
Hold on, gentlemen.
His first car was an Eldorado convertible because he used to park it at Lexington Avenue.
What color?
Where he lived in the project.
That was not his first car.
Okay,
let me tell you what his first car was. Don had bought him a Maserati and told him to go down to, this was Don was trying to tease us at the time, and he told him to go down to the car dealer and get the car. Camacho ordered the car, and the car was ordered. We went down there, and we got the car. He comes out of the car dealer and smashed it. Smashed the car the first day. Didn't go one block. Okay.
Yo, Harold, you said that Camacho was going to face Bobby Chaz? Is that true?
Yeah, we were trying to make Bobby Chaz.
He went back and got another one the same day.
Bobby Chaz.
Yeah, he got another one. I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, he couldn't drive the car because you just pressed on the cylinder, boom, it goes. Camacho didn't know that. He pressed on it, bam, went right out, and it crashed the first day.
Hey, Harold,
I tell you what, Harold,
he learned.
Yeah, he learned.
He learned how to drive that bad boy. Hold on a minute, gang. Hold on. Is this Cincinnati Sea Wings here with us?
Cincinnati Sea Wings, good evening, panel.
Okay,
good
hey, cut the formalities and get to football, okay? Cutler Hines, we know who you are. Talk to football. All right, hi, okay? Feliz Navidad, you happy? Let's talk to football. Hi, fellas.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I got another update I'm going to cut off.
Go ahead. What's the update? Okay, you'll be back. Okay, Doc Stanley Sports Up, Trust and God Radio Network, we're here. Hector Camacho has been shot, but we're still here. He was last night. He was in Denver. I got to watch his road trip. His road trip is turning into orgy too sometime. I got to watch it.
You know the word I heard? The word I got from Puerto Rico, Doc, because I got the word from Puerto Rico, because I got some connects in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And they told me that he was in Puerto Rico getting high and acting up and shouting out some people and talking to people that the way he's supposed to not talk, and he got shot.
Mm-hmm. Sad and touching. Football now. Last night, the Chicago Bears. I mean, what kind of field did they play on last night, C-Wings? They lost again. I guess another bad field.
I'm actually looking at the video of Camacho being taken to the hospital after he got shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he was in Puerto Rico talking nonsense as he was getting high, and that's why he got shot.
He was in a car, and he got shot in the car for getting high in the car and didn't get shot in the car.
Yeah. That's exactly what they did. They waited until he came out the bar and shot him up. For talking nonsense to the wrong person.
Well, you know, the thing is, regardless, it's...
If you know Hector Camacho and you ever seen Hector Camacho in a bar, you know Hector Camacho. No,
he's
a lot of shit.
Yeah, update. He was hit in the upper part of his jaw near his spine. He's unconscious. And if he does recover from this, which they doubt, and I hate to use that word, which they doubt,
he got shot twice in the head and four in the chest.
He will never walk again if he survives this.
Wow.
So that's, man, you know, I got chill. Look at that. I got freaking goosebumps.
That's two in the head and four in the chest.
And,
hold on, gentlemen. Okay, sorry,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah. So the thing is that we can only hope and pray a miracle that he survives, and maybe it's a premature prognosis that he may not walk again. Being an athlete, maybe he can, you know, find the strength. Right now, there's no expectation that he will survive because he's still unconscious.
Hey, the word I got, he's already dead. God bless his soul. Rest in peace.
Yeah, that's
what I got already.
I heard that he was pronounced dead already, but he came back alive, so...
Well, he's on a machine. He got him on a machine.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, hold tight.
And
hold
how
tight.
Long he's going to last on that machine, I don't know.
Hold tight. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Touch and Guard Radio Network. Hector Camacho story. Let's move away briefly from this great boxer and a great friend of me and Harold Weston and get to football just so quickly. Last night, what happened to the Bears against Cincinnati?
They lost. Another thing, when we ask you something,
can you tell us all
what
I don't know?
They lost. Listen, there's no other way to say that they lost. They lost. You saw what happened.
I mean, you can see it. Because last week they played on a bad field. But even though the same team they were playing played on the same field, so I thought maybe there was another bad field.
Hey, that game needed window wipers on their goddamn helmets.
They needed window wipers
to play that damn weather last week on their helmets.
Hey, well, maybe the other team had it. Cincinnati, see, big thing here now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are getting better. I heard they got Plaxico. Now, here's a guy that nobody else could find, and I heard the Steelers who lost a big game this weekend to the Ravens.
I mean, the story behind the Steelers, they're a depleted team right now. They're down to three healthy wide receivers. That's why they signed or re-signed Plaxico Burress, Jay Cott. He has a rib injury. Antonio Brown, he has an ankle. So I guess they had to be in real desperation to sign Plaxico. He still has some football left in him, kind of separate and spread out the defense. That's what they're going to need. And Ryan Leftwich, he got hurt in the game against the Baltimore Ravens. He took a big shot there, hurt his throwing shoulder, hurt it down to Charlie Batch. So the Steelers, I mean, they're really hurting right now for players. So
they're hurting, but
injuries,
still,
that's really going to take a turn on their on a season.
Well, they're hurting, but they still got a winning record. The Ravens, I think, out of all the teams in pro football, they're just about as sure to make the playoffs. They're 8-2, and you got to really take the hat off to them. Rosenberger, though, you know, in the games that he's missed 14 games, and the Steelers are 8-1 against everybody except the Ravens. No, he's missed maybe 14. He's 8-1. Okay, right. He's 8-1 against everybody else. They're 0-5 against the Ravens when they play without Rosenberger. It's amazing. 8-1 against the rest of the league. 0-5 against the Ravens. The Ravens are 8-2. We got a big game coming up. I know, our time is limited. We got the Giants are playing the Packers. Who do you like in this game and why?
I still like the Giants coming off of a bye week. You know, they do struggle in November, but the Giants, history has shown they come back, especially after the bye. So I see them over the Green Bay Packers. They revamped, they got the rest, they know what they have to do, they concentrate. I think they're the best team in the league for that, especially after they struggle. So I see the Packers losing 17-21 to the Giants.
21-7. And now, and your guys, Rex Ryan, they're playing the Pats at home, coming off a big win for them. Any win's a big win for the Jets of late, but the Pats, 55 points against Indianapolis, but they're out without one of their star tight ends. So how much does he affect their play, and how much is that going to be advantageous to the Jets as they play this Thursday night at home on Thanksgiving against the New England Patriots?
I mean, I think he really fired up the team when I talked to Mark Sanchez back in St. Louis. And, you know, I asked him, I said, listen, you guys won 2 years ago. You played on Thanksgiving. How important was this game to win, having to go up against the division leader, New England Patriots? Win is a win. They needed it. And I can see them beating the Patriots. I mean, they're fired up. I mean, this is when the Jets are their best. I mean, when they're under pressure, under a lot of scrutiny, they seem to bounce back. They can't get to the big game, the Super Bowl. But I see it being a tight game. It's hard to call. I mean, Gronkowski is out, Hernandez is out, but, you know, Tom Brady, they seem to do it. So the Jets might squeak out a win. If they do, I give them by three.
Rooney? Rooney, how do you see this, Rooney?
I got to pick him, Doc, only because the Jets are at home and, you know, for the reasons that C-Wings just said. And the fact is that everybody moves the ball on the Patriots. I mean, everybody can throw the ball down the field on the Patriots. You can move the ball on their defense. The question is going to be, will they be able to stifle the Patriots' offense? That's going to be the big question about this Jets game, because everybody can move the ball on New England.
All right.
As I make my way around the outside of Chicago, it's deep. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before. I drove through about 100 miles of fog from Iowa, and it's continued outside of Chicago. But I wish each and every one of you a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Doc, I'll see you at the game on Thursday. Make sure you bring some extra barbecue sauce for that. But, gentlemen, and I wish Hector Camacho a full recovery. Pray for him that he does, that he do make it through this. And, gentlemen, enjoy and happy Thanksgiving to the Sports and Death Nation. Gentlemen,
okay, same
have
to you
a
and the family.
Tonight.
See, and don't do too much tailgating at that game this week, okay?
I'll try not to, or as Boots would say, I try not to get thrown out of the game.
Hey, make that thrown out of the game again. Doc Stanley, Sports to Death on the Trust and God Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break and be right back here, continuing. Hopefully that we will not hear what we think is eventually what we're going to hear about the great Hector Camacho. Commercial time. Oh, yeah. Okay, Study Hall, formerly Block Talk Radio 101. Study Hall is an interactive question and answer session brought to you by Block Talk Radio University. To answer general host questions, it's geared for both new and veteran hosts. Join us every Wednesday, which is tomorrow, for question and answers, including visual demonstrations, or listen to the archives audios for the one and only Study Hall, formerly Block Talk Radio 101. And now, we're going to get back to the latest. We've got the Cisco Kid, Double Bow How, Dusty X, and Big E. As we talk about, it seems to be, sadly enough, the demise of the Macho Man, Hector Camacho, shot tonight in Puerto Rico, and it seems, for all intents and purposes, for... okay, Dusty, what's the latest that you got, Dusty? Dusty's listening. Eric McCann, one of the boxing fans, and also works with us on the Brooklyn Boxing Latin side. We've got the Cisco Kid. Cisco, Dusty, what's the latest? Anybody?
So far, there is news. I think we're just going to have to sit and wait in this situation. There's a lot of, you know, they know that the media is all around them out there in Puerto Rico trying to find out what's going on. So I guess until a doctor comes out and confirms it, when all the family, you know.
How can we talk to him more about his ability? I mean, that Louis Lloyd fight was a tremendous fight. I thought the fight against Ramirez was just a masterpiece. I think that may have been his finest fight. He just displayed so much artistic ability. That night, Hector Camacho was just a masterpiece. And unbeatable.
Update.
Go ahead.
Camacho was only shot once, not in the head like you say, Muscles. He was shot once. The bullet entered from the left side jaw. And as bullets do, they bounced off all the wood, bone structures and hit the C4 and C5 spinal column, and then edged through the other side of his neck and enlarged on his right shoulder. That one bullet did all that damage. The spinal column people, you know, the spine injury people are there. He's unconscious. They got him on
life support.
No, not life support. What is it? Induced coma.
Wow.
Induced coma.
That's
so good. They can
not
be
good
able
at all.
To, yeah, so they can be able to explore the amount of damage that would do that one stupid bullet did, which bounced all over his inside before it lodged on his right shoulder. and that's it so far. They haven't removed the bullet, but it did a lot of damage. I saw pictures of Camacho, and, you know, it's horrible. Of course, he got the face mask, got everything. The ambulance is taking him inside, and that's the latest. He's in surgery now. They're trying to explore how much damage the bullet did, it, and in particular to his spinal cord, which I said before, that if he survives, he may not walk again.
You know, he was one of those guys that was my guy. I remember when I worked with Don King, and he came into camp when Tony Tucker was training to fight Lennox Lewis. And I remember Stacy, the trainer for Tony Tucker, and he marveled.
Stacy McKinley?
Stacy McKinley. Yeah, he said this. Stacy said, Hector, this guy comes in camp his first day and does four three-minute rounds. In fact, I have the hand wraps that he used. I have a pair of his trunks in the Trust in God Sports Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame. DocStanleySports.com is the site. DocStanleySports.com is the site. Doc Stanley Sports In Depth, blogspot.com.br is my blog. One more time, DocStanleySports.com, the site. Your entrance into the Trust in God Sports and Entertainment Artifacts Museum, and Doc Stanley Sports In Depth, blogspot.com is my site. Hector was dear to me. I treasure the things that he gave me. I remember I did a story about him, and you know, athletes say that they don't read the papers, they don't know what's happening, and Hector was a guy that was aware of the big papers and the grassroots papers, and he always said, my late mentor Frank Benz always told me, you know, when you catch these athletes on the way up, they never forget you, and boxers never forget you. Harold West is the expert, never, and Camacho always said, time for me when you're going to fight Ramirez. And I walked over and asked him a question. When I left, I turned around. There was a horde of media around me. And Dennis Smith, the photographer, director of photography at the legendary Big Red, when he walked away, he said, you know what? Everybody was listening, but he was talking just to you. And we were at another affair, and he came in. It was another press conference. He came in and asked him to speak. And he talked for a little while. He turned. He said, that guy over there, he says, he thinks I'm special. And I had wrote an article in the past weeks, I said that Hector was special. And he had read that the ride in this guy, I have the picture, the great photographer Freddie Rodriguez took of me and him inside that Ferrari that he had. He was a great fighter. He was a heck of a human being. He had his flaws. But I never forget what Harold Weston and Condon said. And it's amazing. You know, Hector Camacho is a Hall of Fame fighter. He should have been in the Hall of Fame, as Harold Weston should be there as a matchmaker and a fighter. But he was just a part of the New York culture. He was that last era of guys who knew how to fight, who took fight seriously. He was a young guy.
Well, he's one of the best southpaws of all time. You know what I mean?
Muscles. He was a guy 19, 21 years old who had the head of a guy 39, 40. He gave you angles. He slipped punches. He knew that.
Well, he was super quick, and he had great footwork and hand speed. I mean, the guy was ridiculously fast. You know, his combination punching was, was lightning fast. That's the reason why Camacho was so talented. You know.
And let me say this about Hector Camacho while I have a moment, Doc. And
go ahead.
When a Hall of Fame, when a championship type fighter like Harold Weston, top 10 type contender like Harold Weston, you know, former great in his own right, okay, and matchmaker, says that, hey, when I knew Hector was going to be on the card, I just tell the various networks, we don't care who his opponent is, just bring him. I'm trying to tell our fans, Doc, that they, you know, for the uninitiated, they have no idea what high regard that means. When another fighter, another top contender like Harold Weston can say, hey, didn't care who the opponent was. I had such respect for Hector and his abilities that I just said, hey, we'll just sign a contract. Just bring on whoever. That is showing the level that we think that, a Camacho was on. I mean,
Camacho,
that's
God given
the
gospel
down.
Of Harold Weston. And the gospel of Harold Weston was, I don't care if he's green, white, blue, or yellow. Can he fight? Had to good fight. Harold told me they would call. He said, we got to fight for you. We'll take it. That's it. I don't need to know who he is, what his record is, how does it. We will take the fight. And it wasn't until Hector got on the downhill side, where the drugs came in, that these things happen. We're going to close, and as we would basically just have to sit here and wait. And in closing, we're going to close with the Marvin Gaye "Say the Children." But just Hal, are you still with us, Hal?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you be last. Mel Smith Jr. I think I lost the sports fan Eric McConnell. Mel, you kick it. Your fond memories or just a quick thought about the Macho Man, Hector Camacho.
Like everybody on the panel is saying, a tremendous fighter, very flamboyant. You know, me being the wrestler in the panel, Hector had a lot of, like I said, very flamboyant. His outfits in the ring, very, very creative. He was a showman. Not just a great fighter, but a great showman. You never wanted to miss a Hector performance, which is what it was. Not just a fight with Hector, a performance. Our prayers go out to he and his family, of course. We're hoping that he will be able to, pull through this. And, our prayers go, again, out to he and his family. We hope that, number one, that he survives this, and number two, that we would hope that we hope and pray that he'll make a full recovery. But I just wanted to say, as a fighter, tremendous. As Hector, Harold said, a God-given talent. So we, again, our hearts and prayers go out to him and his family.
Cisco Kid, thoughts and reflections?
Well, I'm going to say this. As far as great Puerto Rican fighters, whenever they talk about great Puerto Rican fighters, his name is usually not mentioned. You know, they'll mention, Esteban de Jesus, Carlos Ortiz, Jose Torres, Wilfredo Gomez especially, but they would not mention his name. And another guy, too, that they don't mention, to me, that he's probably one of the greatest Puerto Rican fighters out of the island, is Wilfredo Benitez.
Mm-hmm.
He's another guy that's been forgotten. I mean, the youngest world champion of all time,
mm-hmm.
In boxing, 17 years old, something, a feat that's never been accomplished, never been duplicated. these two guys are probably the greatest product out of Puerto Rico. You know, they had talent beyond these other guys that I mentioned. So, I just got to say, if the guy passes, it's a great loss, because he was definitely one of the greatest Puerto Rican fighters out of the island. So, mm-hmm.
Camacho, man, Hector Camacho.
You made a good statement there. That was, you're definitely right. I never thought about it like that, but those two are definitely the greatest Puerto Rican fighters that ever lived.
If you look at Trinidad, Gomez,
these other guys didn't have
the versatility to switch up in fights the way these two guys could.
No.
And it's terrible, because a lot of guys, especially these Puerto Ricans today, they don't know boxing. I mean, they talk about these Puerto Rican fighters, and I'm like, are you crazy? Do you know who Benitez is?
Benitez was amazing.
You fought him twice. I know you had a draw with him. What are your thoughts of him? I mean, being that you fought him twice.
He was great. I mean, what made us so unique is that, let me just say this. We both knew about defense, and that was the key of beating everybody. We knew how to fight off our defense. And a lot of guys couldn't do that. And so, if you're standing right there in front of Benitez and throwing your punches, and he makes you miss and he counters, we can hit you all night long, because it's about defense with us. And so when we fought each other, it was like a chess match. That's what it was. That's the reason why there was all that fainting and missing, slipping and everything else. I mean, we got our punches in when we can, but the fact was it was like a chess game that we was playing. And so basically, that's what made this a so unique, interesting fight when we fought each other and everything. But it was a lot of pride between both of us, because
I saw both fights, and the second fight you seemed to be
you guys seem to be more in the pocket than the first one, you know?
Well, yeah, well, you know, I had to, well, one thing reason I had to be there because I was fighting in Puerto Rico, and I had to make a fight of it because I had to try to win every round that I can in that situation. I mean, it was just one thing that had to put a lot of pressure on him and keep him busy and everything. And as you saw what he did, all he had to do was just sit back. All he had to do was just play, you know, just go to the distance and make it close, and he's going to get it. And that was basically what happened.
Yeah, he played the crowd, too. I seen that.
I mean, he's in Puerto Rico. I mean, you know, what you going to do? It's like going to Mexico. You don't knock a guy out, you ain't going to win. So, I mean, you know, we knew what the odds were. But, I mean, he was a great fighter. He was a great fighter. And like we saying, Camacho was a great fighter. Like I'm telling you, you got two guys there that are natural. Every fighter that fights out there is not natural. They were natural. They can do things so easy to make it look easy. Other guys got to struggle to do certain combinations or make certain moves. These guys did things that was just so easy coming to them, and that's what made them great like they were. I think that Camacho, if you moved him right and built and he listened right, what we did at the beginning, he would have been a young world champion too. But the fact is, like I said, people that had him and who he believed in double-crossed him, and that's what made him, you know, him had a bad taste in his mouth about the game and about people around him. That's the whole bad thing about it.
Well, I just want to reiterate that even though it's not looking good for Hector at all at this point, again, our hearts and prayers go out to him and his family.
Oh, no question about it.
Sports in Depth panel.
Dusty, your thoughts on Hector before we come back to Harold and close it. Dusty? I think Dusty's still checking the scoops and stuff.
Hello?
He was special. Dusty?
Oh.
Yeah. Your thoughts on Hector as we close it out.
Oh, what can I tell you? I mean, he was born in Puerto Rico, in Bayamón, and he came here. His nurturing and his growing up was in El Barrio, man, you know. And I had maybe 2 years before I left El Barrio and went up to it and became uppity. But the fact is, he was an idol. I mean, he had an entourage doing the gloves. I mean, everybody followed him. He was the kid who could do no wrong. He was a rising star when he was a young kid, you know. And unfortunately, I don't recall his father. I know I saw his mother a lot of times. And single parent. And he was, you know, he used to run wild in the streets. But claim to fame was in that ring. He found a home in that ring, and I think I heard one of you guys say he's a natural. He is like he was born to fight. I mean, he no other profession was suited for him except in that ring. And things came easy. Came easy because he was disciplined and he worked hard. And I look at Harold, and I know his history, and I look at myself, and I know my history. We were really in no different because we worked hard. We went through a lot of pain to be successful, and that's exactly what he was, how he was. It's unfortunate that, yes, he was used and tarred and feathered by shysters and all that, and being a kid from the streets and undisciplined, the drugs and things. You know, I remember... unfortunately, some of the negative, you know, when you told me that he was shot, I started remembering not only the good times, but the negative times. I mean, how he was busted so many times for doing wrong things, but what saved him was that ring. And unfortunately, he didn't have a steady godfather like a Harold Weston that would nurture him and keep him out of all that trouble. And,
tremendous point
you
brought there, Dusty, because that's what happened when he... got away from Hal, like Iron the Blade Barkley, and things went on a downhill spiral. But, you know, because Hal's concern wasn't about monetary situation. He wanted them...
It was to save his own
to
life.
To save them,
I mean,
and what they could do and what they would bring to the sport. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close here. We will probably come back tomorrow. We ask you to continue to pray for the Camacho family and all the families across the world. This is a gentleman, as Cisco said, one of the two greatest fighters in the history of his country, and you rarely hear anything about him. He's the guy who beat two of the legendary fighters of all time, Ray Leonard and Durant. Yeah, they were past their prime, but there's some to say that at his prime, he had a good shot of doing it again. The last word, Hector Camacho, I think should come from, until Rooney closes out, the man who discovered him. How the last words on Hector Camacho.
Well, you know, let me just say this, fellas. There was definitely one side about Camacho was very soft. I remember we were fighting for the first world championship when he fought Ramirez. That was the one I was involved with him with, his first world championship. And we was fighting in Puerto Rico. And
wasn't his first was against Bazooka Limon, Rafael Limon? Wasn't that his first world title?
At Zuka? No, it wasn't Zuka Balone.
Yeah, that was the
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that was the first fight in Puerto Rico. Yeah, he knocked him out the fifth round.
Yeah, fifth round. Yeah, it was Zuka Balone. Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry about that.
No problem. I appreciate it. Yeah, we invited, but Camacho, you know, we had some other guys. Camacho told everybody to go ahead, and he just said, I just want me and Harold to drive to the, drive to the arena with me and him. So he asked me to come up. He called me in my room. He said, man, I need to talk with you. So I went to his room, and the room was dark, and he's standing there, and he said, hey, man, I'm scared. What do I do? And I said, man, it's just like you've been doing for the last 10 years of this sport that you've been since you was a baby. I said, you can't think about nothing but being champion. You dreamed about it, you ate it, you slept it, and you took sacrifices to be here. I said, you just got to be Hector Camacho. Do your thing. Whatever he does, you just do it better and stay on top of how you got here. He said, man, but I'm so scared to lose it, man. I said, you can't think about it like that. I said, you got to think about what you've been thinking about all these years. And since you've been pro, you got to think about being the world champion and being a superstar of what you want to be. And he said, man, he said, I never thought this kind of feeling can come across you. And why I'm saying that, man, because there was that side of this kid. This kid cared. This kid cared a lot, man, and he wasn't a bad kid. It's just that he had bad people giving him bad advices, and he was just following things. He had no concept of how he should live how his life should really be. But if he'd have stayed with me, and I'd got some more people around him and everything, this could have been one of the greatest superstars of boxing that y'all had ever seen. But unfortunately, those things didn't work out. But I gotta just say that. I'm sad that he's gone. Yeah, he's in bad shape. I hope he pulls through, and I wish him the best because he was a good kid. He wasn't a crazy kid. He wasn't a stupid kid. He just was a kid that trusted people, and he got hurt by trusting them. And that's what I gotta say.
You know how, and he was at one time. He was the biggest star in boxing, and we're gonna close. We're gonna tell everybody goodbye. He's in our prayers. I've already been proud to say that he was one of my guys, and he was a friend of mine, the Macho Man. Rooney, tell us good night, and tell us, remind us again to pray for my friend Hector.
Doc, the Sports In Depth Nation's been here. Our Sports In Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We have been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink's been here, and that's been Doc Stanley. And again, our prayers go out to the Camacho family.
Thank you, Rooney. Three thoughts. Live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others, to make you pay for your space on earth. Son of Man came to serve and not be served. I simply say, from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all. And trust in God.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing.
when the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow, no.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life. For the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live,
thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.